Hello, I'm Joseph Kassa, and welcome to this podcast where the AI team does a deep dive into some application of systems thinking.
Ready for a deep dive. Today it's systems engineering, but with a twist.
A twist.
Yeah, you don't have to be an engineer to get this, I promise. It's more about how huge successes, like what NASA did, can teach us stuff that works anywhere.
I like that, finding the patterns behind the success.
Right. So our guide is this paper. It's from 2011 by Joseph Kassa. He's a big systems engineering guy.
And Derek Hitchens. Quite a background on that one.
Oh, tell me about it. Former wing commander, then gets into like everything, systems thinking, even Egyptology. Wild, right?
Shows how broad this stuff can be. And their paper's cool. It tackles how systems engineering is kind of all over the place, different schools of thought, people arguing.
So projects fail because no one agrees what they're even doing?
Sometimes, yeah. Like that blind man and the elephant story. Each feels a part, thinks it's the whole thing. That's what they compare it to.
Oh, I get it. So to fix that, they give us 7 principles.
7 keys to success, they say. Follow these and you can pull off something as wild as Apollo.
Speaking of which, blew my mind that the moon landing computer, weaker than my phone,
shows it's not just tech, it's how you use it. And that's where their first 2 principles hit hard.
Principle 1, let me guess, have a goal.
Clear, singular objective is how they put it. Sounds duh, but projects go off the rails when that fuzzy. Like imagine a road trip, no destination,
yeah.
Just drive around lost. They're saying NASA had man on moon, back safe. That drives every choice after.
Makes sense when you put it that way. Then principle 2, that's the come on a PS thing, right? Had to look that one UP.
Concept of operations?
Mm.
Think the ultimate blueprint. But it's not just what the thing does. It's how you'll use it over its whole life. Like solar power plant's control system, right? That got to track the sun all day, shut down safe at night, handle weather,
yeah.
Even getting torn down one day.
So planning for the end even before you start, that's long-term thinking right there.
Prevents headaches later on. Like you wouldn't build a house, no thought for plumbing, would you? Any projects the same?
Oh, I feel that. Oops, forgot about X halfway through. That's rough. And that leads to their principle 3.
Designed for the full mission and lifespan. You're getting it. Things get old, needs change, got to upgrade. Only think about the NW, you're in trouble.
In a sense. And then to tackle that complexity, you got to break it down, right?
Partitioned into subsystems, number 4.
Mm-hmm.
Car, for example. You don't build the whole thing at once. It's engine, transmission, body. Each one's its own mini project, tested, then put together.
Teamwork. Each part doing its thing, but also working with the others, like those Apollo modules, the rocket, the lander, the command thing.
Exactly. They all had to do their job, but also work perfectly together for the mission to work.
Which isn't that principle 5? Like, each of those is its own system, too.
Subsystems as systems in their own right. Think. Those Russian dolls. Each one's complete, but also part of a bigger one. So the engine team, they got to know how their thing works, but also how it fits into the whole car.
This is making me think of, like, a Navy convoy. Whole fleet has a mission, but each ship's got to do its own thing, too, right?
There you go. And if those individual ship plans don't map PH the fleets, that's trouble. This principle is all about how much coordination matters at every level of doing something complex.
Now, this next one sounds tricky. Principle 6, building things at the same time.
Parallel development. It's about speed, but also needs careful thought. Like an orchestra, right? Each section practices alone, but then they got to play together perfectly.
So juggling lots of stuff, but making sure it all fits in the end.
Fit, form, and function, as the authors say. Big Jig Zoogers puzzle, where you're working on different bits at once.
And then, no matter how good you think it is, you've got to actually try it, right?
Principle 7, the big one. Rigorous testing. No assumptions. Got to prove it works in the real world.
Like how NASA tested everything for Apollo down to the spacesuits, had to be sure it all functioned even out in space.
Because that's how you find the hidden flaws, the stuff that no one thought of. Otherwise, boom, mission fails.
Okay, so we've got these 7 principles, but the paper doesn't just stop there, right? It goes on to kind of critique how things have gone since those Apollo days.
Oh, yeah. It gets juicy. Not all progress is good progress, is what they're saying. Like, we've gotten too complicated, ended up with this stove piping problem.
Now you've got to explain that one. I'm hooked.
It's like those camps we were talking about earlier. Each one focused on their own little piece of the puzzle, but maybe losing sight of the bigger picture.
So instead of that awesome team thing that got us to the moon, we've got all these silos.
Exactly. And that means communication breaks down, people are doing the same work twice without knowing it, teams end up fighting.
Like office politics, but worse. Turf wars and all that.
That's a great analogy. And the authors are saying this fragmentation, it happened because we moved away from that whole system thinking that made Apollo work.
Wait, but how do we get that back? It wasn't just because they had smart people and tons of money, right?
Well, they did have that. But the paper's saying there was a mindset, too, a way of tackling UGE things that we've kind of lost.
But can we even recapture that? Sometimes it feels impossible.
I think it starts with those seven principles. They're not just for engineers. They're how to solve any problem well.
So being clear, planning ahead, working together, really testing stuff, all good, but we still get bogged down in the day-to-day, you know?
Right, and that's where being flexible matters. Even Apollo, they had screw-ups. Things went wrong.
They had to improvise, make tough choices on the spot, definitely weren't just following some manual.
Exactly. So it's not enough to have a perfect plan. Got to be ready to adapt when stuff inevitably hits the fan.
Which takes us back to those camps, right? The process people versus the problem solvers. Are they saying one's better?
I don't think so. Seems like they want a balance. Process keeps you organized, consistent, but it can't be everything.
It's like that saying, don't let perfect be the enemy of good. Sometimes you got to bend the rules to get something that actually works.
100%.
Yeah.
And that's where humans come in. No process can handle every situation. You need judgment, that spark of creativity, to figure out the messy stuff.
So we're talking about like empowering people to really think, not just follow orders, find solutions that aren't in some book.
You got it. And that's Apollo's lesson. It wasn't just the tech, it was guts, sticking to it, and everyone working towards one goal.
Even with all the AI and fancy stuff we have now, it's still about us humans, huh?
For sure. And that's something to remember no matter what you do. Leading a team, running a project, even just a tough problem in your own life.
So how do we get that Apollo spirit, both in ourselves and the folks we work with?
Starts with knowing there's always more to learn, different ways to see things, never being scared to say, hey, what if we did it this way instead?
That growth mindset thing, believing you can always get better, you're not stuck as you are.
Exactly. And making it so people feel safe to speak up, share their ideas, even admit when they messed up, that's huge.
Because we all make mistakes, especially when we're trying new stuff, pushing boundaries, right?
You bet. The trick is, see those mistakes as how you learn. They get you closer to something better.
So it's not about never messing up. It's making it okay to do so you actually learn from it.
Nailed it. And Apollo had that too. A culture of trust, respect, and everyone wanting that same crazy goal.
That's a good model for any team, any company, doesn't matter what they do.
Absolutely. And it all starts with knowing we need each other, different skills, ideas to solve the really hard problems.
You know, something else you jumped out at me from the paper, how much they talk about communication.
Oh, for sure. They're saying clear communication, it's needed every step of the way, from figuring out the problem to building the solution to testing it all the way to the end.
And not just tech talk either, right? It's about relationships, trusting each other, making sure everyone's on the same page, literally.
Think back to Apollo. Thousands of people, different jobs, backgrounds, companies, all had to work together.
They had to get past all those differences to make it happen.
Exactly. And they did it with like official documents, regular meetings, even just casual chats in the hallway.
So having the right tools isn't enough. It's how you use them to make sure everyone understands each other, honestly.
Yep. Good communication. It's not just sending info. It's making sure everyone gets the same meaning from it.
That's crucial for any kind of teamwork, solving any kind of problem.
For sure. It's interesting to think how the communication stuff back then with Apollo is both like and goon-like what we deal with now.
That's true. On the one hand, we've got so many ways to talk now. Email, chats, video calls, social media.
We can reach anyone, anywhere, instantly.
But that also means too much CH info. It's hard to focus on what really matters.
A wealth of information creates a poverty of attention. Someone smart said that once.
So true. So how do we like cut through all that noise and actually get heard?
Gotta be strategic. Think about WHO you're talking to. Craft the message carefully and pick the right way to send it.
And remember, it's a two-way street. It's not just talking, it's listening really well, asking for feedback, and being ready to change what you're saying based on that.
It's a conversation, a back and forth, not just one person going on and on.
And that's where the author's thing about human factors comes in, right?
Big time. They're saying, think about the people involved at every stage, not just at the end like an afterthought.
Because systems, someone designs them, builds them, and then someone uses them. Got to understand how people think, how they use tech to make something that actually makes sense and is safe.
So it's not just, does it work? It's, does it work for people?
And that means knowing a lot about psychology, how our bodies work, even how our brains work.
It's crazy how much human factors has changed since Apollo. Back then, it was mostly about cockpits and training astronauts.
Now it's everything, from apps to hospitals, cars, even keeping computers safe from hackers.
It's about how people use any complex thing in every part of their lives.
So are they saying we all need to become experts on this human stuff?
Not necessarily, but being more aware of it in everything we do, that's huge. Whether it's building a website, writing a report, even just talking to people. Think about how it'll affect them.
Being empathetic, putting yourself in their shoes, making it a good experience for them.
That's a great way to say it. Tech is a tool. We decide how to use it, and it should be for good, you know?
I like that. Using what we know to make things better, not just make things.
Exactly. That's something worth aiming for, whatever your job is.
Man, this is making me think. It feels like a really big change, not just for engineers, but anyone dealing with tough stuff. It feels like we're talking about a pretty big shift in thinking here, not just for engineers, but for anyone who deals with complex problems.
It is a shift. Yeah, the authors are pushing for a whole new way to look at things, more holistic, more human-centered.
And like we were saying last time, that means unlearning a lot of stuff, breaking those old habits, questioning what we just assume is true.
Exactly. Got to hit that reset button and go back to what made those early systems work so well, like with Apollo. There were core ideas there.
So where do we even begin? How do we actually do that? Unlearn the old ways and start thinking this new way?
Knowing it's a problem is the first step.
Mm-hmm.
Got to see that our current ways have limits, be open to trying new things, even if they seem weird.
Get out of that comfort zone, right?
Yeah.
Be okay with saying, hey, maybe the way we've always done it isn't the best way.
100%. And that means learning from other fields, too, not just sticking to what you know.
Mm-hmm.
The authors, they use stuff from psychology, anthropology, even history to back up their points.
So break down those walls between different areas of knowledge, more teamwork between experts, solve problems together.
Exactly. And that's one of those powerful things this paper says. It's a call to action, not just for engineers, for anyone who wants to make a real difference.
Knowing we're all connected, what I do affects you, what you do affects me. We got to use what we know to make things better for everyone.
That's it. It's not just about building things. It's building a better world with them.
There was this one thing that really stuck with me, how the authors go after this idea of always being cost effective.
Oh, yeah, that was interesting. They're saying if you only focus on saving money, it can actually stop you from coming up with truly new stuff.
It seems kind of backwards at first. Don't we always want to be efficient, do more with less?
Think about Apollo again. It cost a fortune. But it also gave us huge leaps forward in science and tech that have changed our lives in ways we can't even measure.
They didn't cheap out or cut corners. They were committed to the mission no matter what.
Exactly. And the authors are saying maybe sometimes we got to be willing to spend big upfront to get something really amazing in the long run.
So it's finding the right balance, keeping costs in mind, but not letting that kill off those big, crazy ideas.
It's a tough one. No easy answers for sure.
Makes you wonder how much we should focus on just getting by versus really going for those game-changing innovations, especially when money's tight.
That's a question worth asking ourselves, both at work and in our personal lives. Are we playing it too safe? Or are we ready to take a chance to achieve something truly great?
No, that's a thought to leave our listeners with something to chew on as they go about their day.
Food for thought, for sure.
This has been an awesome deep dive into systems engineering and those ideas about success, but they're not just for engineers, are they?
Not at all. They're for all of us.
Exactly. And to everyone listening, we hope you got something useful out of this, something you can use in your own work and life.
Remember, it's not just about those huge, impossible seeming goals. It's using these ideas in everything we do, no matter how small.
It's changing how we think, working together better, and always pushing to be the best we can be.
And never being afraid to ask, what if we did it differently?
Thanks for joining us on this journey. Until next time, keep diving deep.
I hope you enjoyed today's deep dive. Why not take a moment and join the discussion in the LinkedIn group, Tackling Complex Problems? Take care.